Revival is not coming. Revival is here. I believe the revival, the last day revival, has already begun. Now, whether you've seen the fullness of it yet, none of us have seen the fullness of it yet. But there was one place in California that baptized 12,000 people in one day. 12,000 people. There's a move of God that's happening in many parts of the world. Indonesia is experiencing one of the greatest moves of God in their history. Brazil is seeing youth revivals everywhere. There are still college campus revivals that are still breaking out. So there is a move of God in the land. There are people coming to the Lord, and this is just the beginning. So I believe with all of my heart, two things. I believe that God is going to sweep through Cleveland, Tennessee with the glory of God. I believe that with all of my heart. The second thing I believe with all of my heart is that this house will be filled with the glory of God, and we won't be able to hold the people that are trying to get in here because of the move of God. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm prophesying that, but it's not even that I'm not prophesying in just hope. I'm prophesying because deep down in my gut, I feel like the Lord wants us to embrace that and move into it and press into it. But here's the thing about hosting the glory of God. Here's the thing about a holy habitation. God says that there is a way to ascend to the hill of the Lord. And the only way there is with clean hands and a pure heart. And I think that sometimes while we're crying out for revival, we need to be crying out for purity of thoughts and speech and holy living again. And I'm not talking about dress codes. I'm talking about pure minds and pure conversations and things that are sacred and holy before the Lord. You know, this past week we witnessed an atrocity as President Donald Trump there was an attempted assassination on his life. And many in our news broadcasts, and I love hearing this on the news, they're calling it an act of God, 1 inch away, and he would have been dead. They're calling it, I've heard newscasters call it a miracle, a supernatural intervention. I think it's about time the news starts talking like that, aren't you? I've never heard them talk like that before. And I mean, these are people across the networks. Faith and I jumped on Fox News immediately, but then I said, let's see what the other guys are saying. And so we jumped around, and all of them were saying the same thing. On CNN, we heard them call out the name of Jesus. I've never heard that on CNN before. They called out the name of Jesus and said, we all need to pray to Jesus. We heard that on MSNBC. We were actually floating around seeing if there was anybody saying anything different. And to our surprise, there was unity for the first time I think I've seen in many, many years in the news media, where they're almost drawn together in not just sympathy, but in American strength. And we were joining together, saying, not on our watch, people. This is the United States of America, and we are stronger together, and we won't tolerate this. Everybody felt that way. And so we witnessed something that I haven't seen in a long time, but here's something that we also learned from this incident that happened. While we are praying for America and revival in America, we also need to take responsibility for our part in creating the hostilities and anger issues that people are dealing with in their lives. We need to stop demonizing every person that disagrees with us on Facebook and stop demonizing every person that has a different political view. This is a democracy, folks. We're never going to agree on our politics, but can we agree that all of us have been created equal in the sight of Almighty God? We have to return back to basic human respect. We need to stop adding fuel to this political civil war. I heard someone prophesying that there was civil war in this month of the year. I think Mark Biltz talked about that. Well, we're seeing it. It's not with guns, it's with mouths, and that's worse than guns sometimes. We're seeing a polarized politics. We're seeing a polarized nation, but thank the Lord that I saw a glimmer of what a United States actually looks like instead of divided states looks like. I saw just this ray of hope come shining through that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I got this hope in my soul that maybe God can do what we have been unable to do, and he can heal our land. And I began to see hope of that as the Lord pulled us together. We need a stronger country. We need strong leaders. We need to be stronger together. And we need to return, and it needs to start in the church, to the basics of human rights. The very basics that says, whether you agree with me or not, you are my brother and you're my sister. We're all created in the image of Almighty God. Now, some haven't done much with that. Some have distorted it and abused it and disgraced it. Some have done abominable things with their God creation. But nevertheless, we have to honor the fact that God is the one who created them and that they were born with a destiny. Even if they do not fulfill it and seek it out, they were born with a gift and a destiny from Almighty God. Every baby has that right. You know, I remember a different America. I'm a little older than some of you guys. I'm not as old as Perry, but I'm... We just celebrated his 65th birthday, and I'm a little behind that, but not far. I'm 61, all right, so let's just go ahead and be done with it. A baby, thank the Lord. But this is what I remember. Some of you remember the same thing. I remember when we started our school every day with putting our hand over our heart and saying a pledge of allegiance to the flag. I remember in the school that I went to, we had two flags. We had the United States flag and we had the Christian flag. And we also put our hand over our heart and said the pledge of allegiance to the Christian flag in the schools that some of the schools that I grew up in. I remember when the Gideons used to come to school and you would stand in front of your classmates and quote a scripture and get a New Testament Bible from the Gideons, but you couldn't just get one. You had to stand up and quote a scripture. You never heard so many third graders saying Jesus wept in all your life. I mean, it was like one after the other. But everybody wanted that little blue Bible to take home with them. I remember that America. I remember a time when prayer and Bible scriptures were read over the intercom at school. Does anybody remember that? The principal would read the Bible over the intercom, and one of the teachers would pray for the entire school every morning to start the school day, and that happened in the early years of my childhood. And unfortunately, that stopped before I hit high school. But it started in the early years of my childhood. I remember when the news media was perceived as a dependable source of information and truth. And yeah, I don't want to date myself, but I still like Walter Cronkite. And every time I see them airing him on a movie, my heart just leaps a little bit because he made us feel like we could trust what he was saying.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
I remember when, and this should still be that way, I remember when policemen were our friends, And we told our children, if you ever get lost or hurt, find a policeman. They will help you. We need to return back to honoring those in civil service who serve us and honoring our police force, not defunding them. We need to fund them and support them and pray for them and embrace them and buy their lunch every time you see them in a restaurant. And James Bradford says, amen. I remember when our educators were our mentors. I remember when our politicians conducted themselves with a sense of dignity for the office they were going to represent. It was more than the color of the tie. It was the character of the person that we look for. I also remember a different church. I remember a church where we gathered for prayer meetings before service, not because it was organized, but it just happened. Anybody ever go to a Sunday night service at your local church growing up? Anybody ever remember the saints coming in and praying around the altars before service ever started? I mean, they had church an hour before church ever started. Before any song was sang, you could walk into a building and hear people crying out to God. I mean, it was a loud prayer. It wasn't just, you know, everyone in their quiet, having their quiet time with the Lord. There were people seeking God because they were expecting a move of God in that midst. How many of you think our children deserve a country like that? How many of you think our children deserve a church like that? How many of you think we should return back to some of the basic instincts of honor and respect to give the next generation hope that we can still get it right in their generation? I remember the saints coming to pray. I remember Perry Stone's revivals going for 8 and 12 weeks, and that was good dating territory for all of us college kids. I remember our church leaders were fathers of the faith and holy men respected in the community. In today's world, you think twice before you introduce yourself as a pastor, because the title and the name and the honor has such disdain attached to it in this society. Not everywhere, but you would be surprised how many people. I introduced myself to a neighbor one time. I was moving into the neighborhood that we live in now, and they asked me, what do you do? And I said, you know, I'm a minister. What? You're a minister? Yeah, I'm a minister. And it's like he did a double take. I remember when we lived in St. Louis, there were two gay guys who moved in next to us, bought the house next to us, and I went over to greet them and let them know. And I said, hi, my name is Brian. They said, are you the preacher? I said, oh, give me a break, guys. What am I supposed to say back? Are you the gay guys? I said, come on. I'm your neighbor, and I came over to welcome you to the neighborhood. What do you want me to say to that? It's like I'm a real person, and they found out I was a pastor, because every time I'd see them, I'd say, you got anything you want me to pray about? And after a while, they started giving me prayer requests. And so, you know, I don't know what happened with all that, but they knew I was praying for them. And every Christmas, we showed up with a Christmas gift at their door and loved on them and said, listen, I don't know what you've heard about Christians, but we believe God loves everybody. And we're here. I don't have to agree with you to respect you. I don't have to agree with you to love you. I don't have to make fun of you and put you down. I'm never going to win you that way. I'm only going to win you if I use the most powerful force in the universe, which is love. That can win when nothing else in the world can win. That can win. Oh, yeah, we need a revival in America. But we're not going to get a revival just anywhere. It will come where we have understood the requirements of the Lord upon a holy people to sit in a holy habitation. So we end up at Psalms, or begin at Psalms 24. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Is that the place we always want to go? I want to, and anybody besides me ready to stand in the holy place? I want to be in the secret place of the Almighty. I want the glory to fall. I want to be speechless in his presence. I want to see things I can't explain. I want to feel the glory of God on me so much that I feel it days afterwards, that there is an afterglow of the glory. How many of you have ever sensed that from the Lord before? That's what I want. I want to stand in the holy place. But then he puts a caveat to this. Who may ascend? It's a question. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Wow. So that's where we start. God, I want your glory, but first you want me to have clean hands and a pure heart. Now you don't have to, this is a self-inventory, so no one judging your neighbor, no elbows in this sermon, all right? But you have to ask yourself, how clean is my heart? Because I want to tell you that your heart, your hands will do whatever your heart thinks about doing, and your mouth will say, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know how you can check your heart? Just listen to yourself talk. You don't have to say, I feel that way. Nobody's going to believe you, and you don't even believe half of it. I don't care how you feel. Your emotions are deceptive, and they'll even deceive you. How you really feel comes out of your mouth, not really how your emotions are feeling, because that can be swayed by a commercial. That can be swayed by a little dog that was left out in the cold, and now you're sending money to somebody. I mean, your emotions can be swayed by almost anything. A Super Bowl commercial can sway your emotions. I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking about from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can only really gauge your heart by the words coming out of your mouth. So now ask yourself, how clean is my heart? How judgmental is my heart? How racist is my heart? How biased is my heart? What do I say about people? What do I say to people? How do I speak? What's the tone that I use? Is it a respectful tone or a disrespectful tone whenever I speak to other people? Because holiness is so much more than a set of rules for a dress code. It is something that is deeper than that. Pure holiness. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. It never says without holiness, you can't go to heaven. Never says that. No, you invite Jesus Christ into your heart and he's going to take you, and grace and mercy is going to clean you up and get you there. He never says without holiness, you can't get to heaven. But he does say without holiness, you won't see God. You can see everything else wrong with the world, but you won't see what God is doing. Without holy living, everything can be around you, and you can think this is bad, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and everybody's going to hell in a handbasket. But inside, what you're not seeing is how good God is, and what God is doing, and how God is breathing hope and life and blessing into everything around him. Without a pure heart, the problem is, without a pure heart, we can't see God. That's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So if we can't clean up our hearts, we don't even know. Don't tell me you're hearing from God unless you have a clean heart. Sweet water and bitter water, in the proverb says, can't come out of the same well. It's one or the other, but it can't be both. And so what we have to ask ourselves is, how pure are my thoughts? And how pure are my words? Because true holiness is reflected in the words we speak. And only when I start speaking God's words, thinking God's thoughts, can I see God.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.